I got an email yesterday from Mr. Buckner. And it was kind of funny, but it was signed off as bad dust.
I saw that. I thought that was catch
how I felt with all the dust up from that.
Question is there anything, any such thing as good dust?
Was I good dust before I screwed up?
I thought it necessary to talk about this again. We've talked about it many times, but
what was the bad dust? I didn't read.
Well, this whole thing with Ronnie, I've done a lot of organization and searching and found these birth certificates and set up Tom to pick him up after his appointment. There was just a whole lot of stuff that I was kind of taking the lead on.
Well, loose ends.
And thought I had it all lined out. I thought I had taken these papers and given them to Ronnie. It was just a locked thing. But I kind of remembered after it was all over that he'll probably lose these papers and their official documents. So I said, I'll just hold them here. I guess that's what I said. But then when Tom goes and picks up Ronnie and he gets ready to go to the bank, no papers. And he's calling me and Tom and Pete getting a little bit of a scuffle and all this craziness. Bottom line, Ronnie ends up with no money. The whole thing was a washout.
And it was your fault.
And it was my fault.
It was bad dust.
It was bad dust in operation.
All right. Go to Genesis 3.
That's what
your client is wrong.
We'll see. That was just the key thing. Everybody's called me. Tom's calling. He wants to go in my house and look for it. It's right during Judy's party, and it's like, but it was a little mess.
Yeah. Well, start in Genesis 2, verse 25. They were both naked and were not ashamed. Many senses or ideas or metaphors, if you will, the opposite of ashamed is innocence or naivete. I haven't thought that through, but from a gut level, that's what it appears. Remember that just before this, God had told Adam to name the names. And so, had he not done that, then the purpose of Adam and Eve could not have been accomplished, because God doesn't want innocence or naivete. He wants tested innocence, which is holiness. And so he had to cause Adam to name the names, so that the idea, the concept of separation was possible in Adam and Eve. You understand that? If you had never learned to name the names, you would remain in innocency. Now, this issue is critical, because we don't know how many other tests Adam and Eve had, but we do know this one, that shortly after he named the names, then it was possible for the mind that he had to fall, and in a very real sense, to speak to him about things. And so here we go. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God didn't say, Don't touch it. He said, Don't eat it. Now, you got to remember, the concept of eating and drinking is locked in to the afkumen. So here we go. Now this is the serpent's trick. The serpent's because if they couldn't touch it, then it would have been. It's like when you tell somebody not to do something as a child, they'll for sure do it. What you're against, you're subconsciously subject to. And so by saying and her agreeing that you shall not touch it, then that opened the door, because there was a misquote, a misunderstanding of the whole meaning of the text there. You got it? Because from us now, the only way that we can come to the end of ourselves is either by touching it, touching everything, either by empathy or by experience, so that we can know it is all dust. It's all meaningless. So this is hard to get to, maybe, because our minds can hardly think about that. So anyway, so here's what the serpent said. The serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the fruit of the lie is that you'll know good and evil. You won't really know it, but you will think you know it, and therefore you will be in the judgment seat. Instead of innocence, now you're in the judgment seat. Is that clear? So, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit of it and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said unto his wife, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? So now the possibility of man being of use to God was for the most part over. We know that many, many, many saw the mystery, and as we've talked about, they spewed out the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and they walked in that place. place of innocency as much as it can be. But they had to see the mystery of the Christ in order for them to have reached this mystery, this, you know, getting, I keep using it, I can't think of anything better, but they got all the pepper out of the salt shaker. Some instantly, some it took 100 years. With Enoch, it probably took a lot more than 100 years. But they returned by I don't even know how to say it, by slowly but surely, and in some cases instantly, some places up and down, you see with everything in you that this serpent can only do that which is against the will of God. Your mind can do nothing else but be against the will of God. It's evil above evil. It is well, we don't have to go through that. We know it is the instead of Christ. And it wants more than anything else to judge good and evil. And it can't be used a little bit. If it's used, i.e. given breath to, in the slightest arena, then the whole is still corrupted. It can't be anything but corrupted. It can't be anything but the enemy of God. No matter how good the words are, no matter how sure you think you are in the belief system that you hold, it cannot be used. It's there. But as we've talked about many times, that's what real repentance is the acceptance and the living of this is contradiction in terms again, the living of your death. There's no in between. So now let's go on. And he said in verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Who told thee? I mean, it's endless. That should bring out in you, who told you that blah, blah, blah? Who told you that this position is good and that position is bad? Who told you all these things?
Satan's out of the picture at this point. Satan's out of the picture at this point.
No, he is the mind. He is the snake.
Yeah, he's out of the picture from the sense of the snake is not mentioned now, but it's become... He's incarnated inside Adam and Eve in their judging. Did they become children of Satan?
Well, let's look at it. We'll see what it means. Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gave it to be with me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. So then comes justification.
Yeah.
That's the first thing the mind did is justify. Or second thing, the first thing was they're going to eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Again, justification after justification. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. An equally good, maybe even better translation is, by thy belly thou shalt be led. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. It's the same idea that an orange tree can only produce oranges. So the reproduction is only more dust, more snakes. I mean that's it. More snakes, more dust, more snakes. Now, Paul, I believe, references this in great particularity in Philippians. Philippians 3. Starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That I remember when we talked about this when the Bible study first started, that even includes more knowledge of the Bible, more knowledge of anything, no matter how holy you think it is. Whatsoever is gain to him, to us, to me, to you, is a loss to Christ. And that's a law that's more sure than gravity. Everybody understand that? I'm not picking on you, but I'm picking on you a little bit. I remember that response came when you said in Bible study that you wish you knew the Bible as well as I did. And my response was, whatsoever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Because you have need of no man teach you. I can't teach you anything.
You're the unteacher.
That's what Carolyn said, something interesting to me one day. She said, when I said that to her and to John, I think it was in a meeting we were having in my office, I said, I can't teach you anything. And that to her was like she'd been waiting to hear that all her life. I didn't study to try to learn anything. I studied I studied to try to prove it was wrong. And then after my meeting with Leighton, Dr. Farrell at the Highland Park Methodist Church, the study was to be another witness so that my mind could not object to it, if you will. Anyway, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. We're not just talking about this law in here in the Bible. We're talking about the law of anything. The law of gravity, the law of cause and effect, the law of light, the speed of light, anything. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by that faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, this last week has been, for me, almost one of the worst weeks I've had in a long time. But it bothered me, and I didn't like it. But I knew that it wasn't me. It was that something else was taking place besides how I felt. And that it was something about this, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither already perfect, fully tested is what the word perfect means. But I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now that's you don't study to apprehend. Apprehension comes from repentance. Then it apprehend, because it's already apprehended you. But you must apprehend that for which you have been apprehended by. Now, that sounds confusing, but it's really simple. You know, 1,000 times when I've studied in this book, there's something that didn't make sense. There's something, you've heard me talk about this many times, but something that I said, aha, God, I got you. But I couldn't make sense of it. Until I repented. And that's... I don't even know how to express that, but it's... If you will, it's one of the keys to the kingdom. All right.
The gotcha part? Or
huh?
That's a little confusing. Aha, I gotcha. Meaning you tripped him up or found a...
Yeah, my deal was I was going to quit. I was going to throw the whole thing off if I could find any contradictions in the Bible.
Which there are a lot of contradictions.
No, they're not. Every contradiction that I found during that 12 years of study, each apparent contradiction held a deeper, unbelievable revelation. Let's say, God so loved the world, he gave his son. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Talk about a contradiction that's as big as it gets. God so loved the world, this cosmos, the adornment of the bride, the purpose of the world, the bride. God so loved the bride that he gave his son. If a man loved the world, I am. The whole system of whatever age you're living in, the whole moral system, the whole political, social, financial, every system there is. If any man loved that, the love of the Father is not in him. Love being the verb, given breath to, given importance to. All right. Does the sound come in?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think I need to use the restroom.
Oh, okay. I'll get it unlocked.
You can leave it open.
Restroom here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This one?
This circle is for me about the good and evil. Because a contradiction, the holy book, the words, are evil to the flesh. Aha, I found a problem. So you're right back in the fall. You are judging good and evil, but in fact. fact, the contradictions are what drives you to that deeper level.
Well, of course.
And you then see something, so now it's good.
Start no, it's good. Neither good nor evil.
Exactly.
It's the only is.
Right.
It's the only first person, it's the only I am.
Yeah.
Remember, that we are called peculiar people. And the ancient, well, and the meaning of peculiar there, it's the I am. That's what it means. I am, and it's peculiar.
Yeah.
You have no modifiers. You're neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, young or old, rich or poor, smart or dumb. You have no modifiers to your being. You are the I am.
So we're approaching the test of innocence there.
Right. That's why the test is so critical. Again, we talked about, you are fed in Jerusalem. You bear his reproach outside the camp. Well, it's fine. We're not where I want to be yet. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, fully tested, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. That's the only thing that I would have anybody follow about me is the faith. There's nothing else. All right, now watch. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, who give breath to dust. That's what it says, really. Because that is all the serpent's domain. Dust. That's the entire universe. All this has been delivered over to me, and unto whomsoever I will, I give it. So why? This is why there's no good dust or bad dust. There's just dust. Until we know that we are that dust, and all the things that we think we like and esteem are different. They're all dust, no good, no bad, they're just dust. You'll continue eating dust instead of what? Instead of understanding afkamen. And you, test, you've got to, each of us have to go through this every periodically. Is there anything in the world that I esteem? If I esteem anything in the world, then I know repentance is necessary. If I give breath, importance to anything in the world, politics, football, children, wives, husbands. If I give breath to anything in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because everything in the world is dust. Gold, diamonds. Then we got the dust storms, like having a good name. Accomplishments.
Something you said kind of accentuated the gospel, and that fast forward 300 years,
for me, fast forward 10 years.
Yeah, short of that. Yeah. So, but 100 sounds better, 200, because it accentuates all the activities.
By that time, the phone's best, too.
all this stuff that we strive and try to make happen. From 300 years, when you look back, it's a so little, no value. But in our bodies, we try and make what we do of value.
That's why we esteem Abraham Lincoln or Martin Luther King. You know, we esteem those people because that then gives us license to esteem us.
Yeah. Anything but
anything but seeing it's all dust. No good dust, no bad dust.
Yeah.
This is especially true about manners and mores of the world, and ethical systems. It's all the same. It's all crap.
Yeah. And the world, it just never stops. I mean, it'll go from one thing to another, and now it's kind of speeded up. You know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, we were going to die of cholera.
Well, this will just take a minute. You know, one of the things that I was doing at my conversion experience, as we had. I put up a lot of the money and raised the rest for a movie called Santee. It was the first movie that was shot on videotape and then transferred to film. A good friend of mine had invented that. And so, that plus we were doing all kinds of stuff. I invested in a ski resort in Crested Butte, Colorado. I bought a whole bunch of land around because we knew where the lake Ray Hubbard is gone, so we bought a whole lot of coast. I had 10 acres at the intersection of what is now 635 and what's the road? Anyway, at an intersection up there because I knew 635 was going to be built. All kinds of stuff. It was a never ending. The seeing of all that as total dust in that instant. All my plans for politics. It was all just. None of it was any more important than going to the bathroom. And that, that's what I didn't like. That's what, when I came to my senses, I said, good God, this is terrible. I tried to prove it was wrong.
I had lunch with this bishop guy that's a friend of, wife of friend of Judy Payne's with, and he and I were sitting together and talking, and he had something very, another way to describe what you just said, it was something like a flower or some plant or something. When it reached a certain point in its development, it just exploded or something and was just dust and just fell to the earth. It was a fantastic description of that same thing.
All right, consider or meditate on these things. Take it, big guy.